Good morning. My name's Ted. I am one of the newer pastors here. I think I started in June or something like that. But actually, at one point, I used to attend the church here in the mid to late 90s when I was a student at the University of Chicago, and then later I went to Trinity. I came to church here, so when I came back, I saw some familiar faces. You may recall that we used to meet in a high school, Evanston Township High School. And I remember the first time I came to the church, I came with one of my friends. We dressed up for church. We didn't know what to expect. I think I wore a sports coat. And I thought that that was how you fit in at the Vineyard. But you know, I didn't realize it was just come as you comfortably come. So I remember coming. And I remember sitting in the second or third row. I can't remember exactly where, but we were like front and center. And Steve Nicholson, our senior pastor, he was preaching. And at the end of his message, he said something like this. He said, well, this doesn't normally happen to me, which in my experience, I'm not quite sure if that's true or not. But he said, well, this doesn't normally happen to me, but I have a few prophetic words for some people that are here today. And so this was in a big auditorium, and I was sitting in the third row, and I'm like, what is that? So he looks at me, and he says, you have the gift of prophecy. And then he looked at my friend and said he had a gift too. And so then afterward, I thought, I'm going to go up and talk to him. So we went up on stage, we talked to Steve, and Steve started asking me questions, and I started answering those questions, and Steve started laughing. I'm sure you've seen him laugh if you've been here for a while. And so I'm like, this is great. Okay, so he started laughing, and then he clapped me on the back and said, see, that's the gift. And then I started like smiling or something. I don't know what happened. This dawning realization that maybe something God would speak to me through this unexpected grace of prophecy started dawning my face. And I don't know if I had a self-satisfied look or not, but Steve then yelled at me. He said, don't get proud. That's what he said to me. This was my first experience with Steve Nicholson. And here's the interesting thing. I think I must have had an expectation that after he said, well, you have this gift of prophecy, that maybe I would start hearing things from God. The gift of prophecy, all it means is it just means the ability to relate to people what God spontaneously brings to mind, you know? Well, here's the thing. For me, for years, God didn't bring anything to mind. I don't think I heard God. Like, he tells me not to get proud. I'm like, I'm not sure what to get proud about because I'm actually not hearing anything. And the fact that I wasn't hearing anything was really, really troubling to me. Because they started coming to church here, and I loved it. I loved Steve. I loved Bill, who just retired. I loved what the church, what was happening at the church. I loved everything that the church was doing, the way it remembered the poor, the way it leaned into the work of the Holy Spirit. I loved all of it. But I didn't hear anything from God. And it was really troubling for me because rippling under the surface of that, I was familiar with this passage from Joel chapter 2. Maybe you've heard this passage before, maybe not, but I'm going to read it for you. It says this, after this, I will pour my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour my spirit on servants, on both men and women. Well, what does this passage say? This passage basically says this. Everybody hears. Everybody hears. Everybody has the ability to hear because the Spirit has been poured out on everyone through Jesus. In fact, the founder of the Vineyard Movement of Churches is a man named John Wimber, and he used to say this phrase that you're probably going to hear often. He used to say this phrase, everybody gets to play. Now, what does that mean? I think that part of what it means is it means that we all get to hear. We all get to participate in the miraculous work of the Spirit, but I didn't feel like I got to participate in it all other than get prayed for because I didn't feel like I was hearing. So maybe you're like me. Maybe you're here today and you've heard people use this phrase, the Lord told me, or I had a conversation with Jesus, and you're like, what are you talking about? I'd like to have that conversation. as far as I know, he's having a conversation with them, but not with me. That's what I thought. So maybe you're here and you're wondering, does God actually speak? And is he speaking to me? Well, it turns out that I'd gotten a lot of things wrong about hearing God's voice. And it turns out God was probably speaking to me the whole time, and I just was not aware of it. Well, we've been in this series. We started this series last week, a series in 1 Samuel. These electric stories about the establishment of God's kingdom. So last week we talked about Hannah, and we talked about Samuel, and we talked about this incredible story about how God draws hope out from unlikely places. Then we're going to continue that series with 1 Samuel 3. And the great news about this series, or this particular chapter, is that it's going to teach us a lot of things about what it means to hear God's voice. All right, so 1 Samuel 3. Let's read this chapter together. So maybe you have a Bible, you brought it, you can open up 1 Samuel 3, or maybe you have a phone and you have a Bible app on your phone, you can open it up to 1 Samuel 3, or if you don't have a Bible with us, you can just follow along today with the screen. So here we go. The boy Samuel was serving the Lord under Eli. In those days, a prophecy from the Lord was rare. Visions were infrequent. One night, Eli was lying down in his room. His eyesight had begun to fail so that he couldn't see well. The lamp in God's temple hadn't gone out yet, and Samuel was asleep in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was kept. In other words, the lamp hadn't gone out yet, so it was still night. All right, so it's literally in the middle of the night, into the darkness when God speaks. Verse 4, then the Lord called Samuel. Here I am, Samuel responded. He ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Eli replied, I didn't call you, go back to bed. So Samuel went back and lay down. Verse 6, the Lord called Samuel again. Samuel got up, went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. I didn't call you, son, he responded, go back to bed. So Samuel had no experience with the Lord because the Lord's word had not yet been revealed to him. In other words, he hadn't really heard God's voice before. The Lord called Samuel a third time. Samuel got up, went to Eli, and said, here I am. You called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. Go lie down, Eli told Samuel. When he calls you, say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his room. All right, listen to this. Verse 10. The Lord came and stood there. He called as he had called the other time. So before we didn't really know what the Lord was saying to Samuel, but what was the Lord doing? He was calling Samuel by name. He called as he had called the other time. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, I'm listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I'm going to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it ring. And anytime you see that phrase in the Bible, something bad is coming. All right? On that day, I'm going to do to Eli and his family everything I said from beginning to end. I told him that I would hand down a permanent judgment against his household because he knew about his son's sin, that they were cursing God, but he didn't try to stop them. That is why I have taken an oath concerning Eli's family line. No offering or sacrifice will ever be able to make peace for the sins that Eli's family committed. Imagine that you're Samuel. You've heard the Lord call your name. And this is what he tells you. Samuel remained in bed until morning. Then he opened the doors of the Lord's house, but Samuel was afraid to tell Eli about the vision. Then Eli called Samuel. Samuel, my son, he said. We've heard this before. "Here I am," he responded. "What did the Lord tell you?" he asked. "Please don't hide anything from me." "May God strike you dead if you hide anything he told you from me." So Samuel told Eli everything. Eli replied, "He is the Lord. May he do what he thinks is right." Verse 19, Samuel grew up. The Lord was with him and didn't let any of his words go unfulfilled. All Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew Samuel was the Lord's appointed prophet. The Lord continued to appear in Shiloh since the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh through the Lord's word, and Samuel spoke to all Israel. And this is Samuel's ministry, verse 19 through 21. This is the thing that Samuel has been created for, centering around Samuel hearing God and then relaying it to various people throughout this book, 1 Samuel, and what we're studying. But how Samuel hears can actually maybe teach us some things about how we can hear God too. So what I'm going to do with the rest of our time is I'm going to use 1 Samuel 3 as a launching point for a very practical lesson on what it is like to hear God's voice, okay? So we're going to use 1 Samuel 3 and the way God speaks to Samuel as a very practical jumping off point for what it looks like to hear God's voice. And hopefully by the end of this message, we'll have some clarity, okay? So five things we learn about hearing the voice of God from 1 Samuel 3. Number one, God is a speaking God. When the first verse says, "The word of the Lord was very rare, visions were infrequent," that means that the word of the Lord should not be rare. This is why the writer is saying that, that visions should not be infrequent. Why is the word of the Lord or prophecy rare? Why are visions infrequent? Well, probably because of divine disfavor. Eli and his sons, well, we learn from chapter 2, maybe you were here last week, chapter 2 talks about Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, being scoundrels who have no regard for the Lord. So the word of the Lord is rare because of divine disfavor, okay? But even in the Old Testament, this is not how it should be. Prophecy should not be rare. Vision should not be infrequent. In John chapter 10 in the New Testament, Jesus tells us that he speaks to us and we hear his voice. He is a speaking God. And just like the Lord called Samuel by name, he is calling you and me by name too. Well, so if he's speaking to you, well, how does he speak? Well, that's the second thing that we learn. God's voice, number two, sounds natural to our ears. When it came to Samuel, it came to him so naturally that he actually thought Eli was calling him three times. It wasn't like the heavens opened and the voice thundered. It just sounded like an old man from the other room. That's what it sounded like. Samuel, and if it happened once, maybe he could have mistaken that. But it happened three times before Eli had to counsel him. "Hey, listen, it actually is the Lord." Right? So it sounds natural to our ears, which I suppose makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? This is one of the things that I didn't understand about hearing God's voice, that I've come to learn. It happens so naturally that it sounds like someone is actually maybe speaking to us. And doesn't that make sense? Who made our mouths? Who made our ears? Who made our imagination? Why wouldn't God speak to us with those things? It seems pretty efficient, doesn't it? You know, I made these things, so I might as well use them, you know, but I didn't understand that. The first few times I believe God spoke to me, I thought they were just figments of my imagination. I thought they were just like, these little impressions. They were like vague feelings or these mental images that came into my mind seemingly out of left field. I didn't actually know they were from God because they just seemed like my thoughts. For 5 years, we lived in California. My wife and I, we were church planting in California. And at one point, my wife turns to me and says, you know, I'd kind of like to go back to school and get a graduate degree. I'd like to get a doctorate. I'm like, okay. Well, that was a problem for me because it was a church plant. I didn't feel like we were supposed to leave. And so I started asking God, would you speak to me, please, about this? You know, of course, I would open my Bible, and I would open my journal or whatever, and I would start writing, but I wasn't really hearing anything. So I happened to be in the shower one day, which is how God speaks to me, but I wasn't expecting it. And I got this impression, and it wasn't really like God spoke to me, but it was clear enough that I could put it into words. And what I felt like God was telling me was, Ted, it is not right for you to value your calling above your wife's. That sure didn't sound like me, actually. That felt like it came from left field. I thought, maybe that's actually from God. So I went and I talked to my wife about it, my wife Brittany, and her eyes got real big, and then we moved. But here's the interesting thing about all of that. I mean, I could have easily passed that off as a figment of my imagination. It sounded that natural. It just sounded that natural. Which leads me to the third thing that we learn from this chapter. When God speaks to us, he speaks to us for other people. When God speaks to us, he speaks to us for others. What did the Lord say to Samuel when he came and stood there? He said something from Eli. He said, I'm going to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it ring. On that day, I'm going to do to Eli and his family everything I said from beginning to end. Samuel hears something for Eli. It's not Samuel, Samuel, I'm going to make you into a great prophet. It's Samuel, Samuel, I'm going to do something. The thing that I promised you to do to Eli, I'm going to do. And I think that when we think about hearing God's voice, don't we reflexively think, well, I want to hear it from me. If you're going to speak, speak to me. Right? I want you to speak to me about whether I should get married to this person I'm dating, or I want you to speak to me about what job I should take this promotion, or I should leave the state. I want you to speak to me for me, but I want to tell you, church, that 90% of what I hear is not for me. It's for other people. 90% of what I hear, when the Bible talks about the gift of prophecy, it says it's for the building up and the edifying of the church. It's for everybody. It's for other people. God speaks to you for other people. If you want to get better at listening to the voice of God, then join the prayer team. Start praying for other people. In fact, that's the way I learned how to hear. When I left the Evanston Vineyard, I got a job at another vineyard on the West Coast, and I was a pastor over there and was looking at the church calendar, and I thought, well, when do we pray? So we started this prayer meeting. And what did we do at this prayer meeting? We prayed for each other. And almost every single time we prayed for each other, I got paired up with this woman named Tracy Spicer, and we prayed for people. And this woman, Tracy Spicer, would say, you know what? I think I'm hearing this from God for you. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, that was in my head. I didn't even know. Or I'd say, hey, I'm going to pray this thing. I don't even know it's from God, but this is kind of what's in my head for you, so does this make any sense? And then Tracy would say, I heard that too. So that's how I learned. I learned by actually praying for people, and I also learned by getting confirmation. This is why if you get prayed for here at the church, someone might say, I think I'm hearing this. Does that make sense to you? And then the person responds. We're looking for confirmation all the time, and isn't it right that we'd find confirmation as we pray for other people from others? You know, but what that taught me was that when God spoke to me, he was going to speak to me in these mental images or these impressions. So then I knew that when it was time for me to try to listen for myself, it was probably going to happen the same way. I learned how to listen for myself by praying for other people. That's how we learn how to listen. When God spoke to Samuel, he didn't say, Samuel, Samuel, I'm going to make you into a great prophet. I'm going to do all these things through you. He said, Samuel, Samuel, I have something that I want you to give to Eli. That's what happened. The fourth thing that we learned from 1 Samuel chapter 3 is that we get better at listening over time. We go from a little boy who sleeps by the lamp in the temple of God in Shiloh, who does not recognize when God is speaking to him, to a great prophet whose prophecies do not go unfulfilled. Verse 19 and 21 tell us, Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and didn't let any of his words go unfulfilled. All Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew Samuel was the Lord's appointed prophet, but when we meet Samuel, he does not recognize God's voice. And this is something that I think I didn't quite understand. I thought either you hear God or you don't. Does anybody think that way? Either you hear God or you don't. Like it's an on-off switch or it's binary. Maybe some people have it or some people don't, but that's just not how it works, especially on the heels of a promise like Joel 2. You all can hear. We all can hear. When the Spirit was poured out on us, you know what that means? That means that we all can hear. Now, some people may listen or may hear more things than you, but they hear more things than you because they've just gotten better at it over time. We get better at listening over time. So again, maybe I'm making this plug too strongly, but if you want to get better at hearing, start praying for other people. And if you want people to pray for, then join the prayer team. Because this is how you learn and can learn how to hear God for yourself, which I know that we all want, don't we? Don't we want God to speak to us? He's speaking to us, and he's calling us by name. Don't we want to hear what he has to say? But what if what he has to say is not for you? What he has to say is for that person that you might meet in the grocery store? You know, does anybody ever feel that way? You go into the grocery store and you walk into line and all of a sudden you're like, oh no, I think God is speaking to me for that person I'm in line with. Has that ever happened to any of you? And you're like, surely it can't be you, Lord. Surely it can't be you. Like, you're hoping that Eli's in the other room so you can just go run over to Eli and say, here I am. You know, but that does happen when he calls us by a name. The thing that he says to us most often, in my experience, is not for me. It's for other people. And here's the fifth thing, the last thing. When you're not hearing, there could be something in the way. There could be something stopping up your ears. Again, the chapter begins by telling us that the word of the Lord was rare. That prophecy was rare. That visions were infrequent. And it probably was happening because of divine disfavor. Eli and his sons were far from God. This is what sin does. Sin creates distance between us and God. How many of you know that it's hard to hear somebody when they're all the way on the other side of the room? It's hard to hear. And how many of you also know that when your conscience is speaking to you, it's much louder than the whispers of God? The voice of God rides on obedience, and it rides on holiness, and it rides on righteousness. Part of the reason why I didn't hear much from God when I first came to the Vineyard was because God was disentangling my life from sin. I came to the Vineyard, and I learned what it looked like to become a holy person. I started confessing I got an accountability group, so I started confessing my sins and my addictions, and guess what? I got free. And the things that were in my ears, all of a sudden, they came out. This is what it's like to hear the voice of God. If you want to hear better, put away the stuff that entangles you. But another thing that could be in the way is our fear, right? Samuel was afraid of giving the word of judgment to Eli, and justifiably so. Samuel remained in bed until morning. Verse 15, then he opened the doors of the Lord's house, but Samuel was afraid to tell Eli about the vision. Fear stops up our ears sometimes, doesn't it? I remember like a few years ago, I asked God to speak to me through my dreams. I said, God, you know, like I hear people talking about how they get dreams. Would you speak to me in my dreaming? And guess what my dreams were about? I had two dreams in a row. Two nights in a row, or two or three nights in a row, I just had these dreams, right? What were my dreams about? Were they about me? Anybody want to guess? Were my dreams about me? They were not. The first dream I had was about a young worship leader I knew who had moved away from the church that he was leading worship at and was not attending church anymore. And I had this dream about this worship leader. He was in a boat, and the boat was taking on water, and he was calling out for help, and nobody was there to help him. And I woke up, and I thought, that's probably from you, God, because I hadn't thought about that worship leader in months. So what did I do? I didn't do anything. I got scared. I thought, ooh, the next night or the next couple of nights, I got another dream, and guess what it was about? It wasn't about me. It was about one of my friends, and it was about his family. And I can't share the details, but there was a strong sense of warning in that dream. And what did I do? Did I do anything about it? I didn't, because I got scared. But unlike Samuel, I didn't have Eli to come knocking at my door in the morning to say, if you don't tell me the thing you heard, may God strike you dead. This is a little boy. Little boy's like, what have I gotten into? You know, they didn't have telephones back there. Mom, are you sure that I'm supposed to be here? May God strike you. I didn't have that. I didn't have that. So I didn't share those dreams. And guess what happened when I didn't share those dreams? They dried up. I stopped dreaming. Fear can stop our ears up. But fortunately, we have a merciful, gracious God. When we turn to him, he wipes it all away. So maybe God has been speaking to you all this time, but just like Samuel, maybe you're scared or maybe you're afraid. And I just want to tell you, that is totally understandable. But may God grant you and me the courage to share the things that God is revealing to us. Because he's gracious and he's kind. And when we turn to him, it can start all over again. It can start all over again. Well, listen, if you've been here over the last couple of months, this summer we did a series in the book of Acts. Now, many of you have come back from the summer. Maybe you weren't here for a lot of that series. Can I just commend to you, would you listen to the first message in that series? It's a message that our senior pastor, Steve Nicholson, preached on Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is actually Pentecost. So this is when the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church, okay? And in that message, I believe Steve spoke a prophetic word for the church. He said, the wind is coming. The wind is coming. And do you know how sometimes when somebody speaks, there's a phrase that comes out, and then all of a sudden it just feels like it has different kind of weight in your heart? Does anybody ever feel that? Well, it felt that way for me. I believe the wind is coming. Well, guess what? When the wind comes, what does the wind bring along with it? It brings along with it the whispers of God. I think as the wind comes, God's going to be speaking even more. And when he speaks, is it going to be for you? Well, it might be. But it's probably going to be for other people, because that's how it works. Remember in the video, we were talking about small groups living in isolation. Guess what living in isolation also does? It cuts you off from the voice of God. When you live in community, God speaks to you for your community. So are you listening? Are you listening? God is calling you by name. God has not just given you physical ears, he's given you spiritual ears. God has poured out his Spirit on each and every one of us. We all can hear. We all can hear. Because of Jesus, his mercy, and the power of the Spirit, each one of us can hear the whispers of God. So are you listening? Are you listening? God wants to speak to you. He calls you by name. And the thing that he wants to speak to you is probably not for you. It's probably for somebody else. God wants to speak to you. Are you listening? Are you listening? Let's close our eyes for a moment. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. And I'm going to pray, in case that wasn't clear. Open up our ears to hear your voice, God. Every one of us. Open up our ears to hear your voice. We want to hear you. We know that you are calling us by name. So would your Spirit rest on us? Would you speak to us as you spoke to Samuel? And here in this space, we just want to say we are willing, no matter how hard it is, to relate the thing that you speak to us, no matter how hard it is. Also, forgive us in any way. If we have stopped up our ears because of our sin, forgive us. We leave that behind. We are willing. Just like Samuel said, speak, Lord. We are listening. Speak, Lord. We are listening.